The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Moon Tower Soccer. I'm your host, Steph Craniola.
And I'm Mike Craniola.
And today we're all about the boys.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah, today we've got kind of a different little show for you. We have a very short beginning to happen. And then we're recording this right now on Wednesday, August 30th. We leave tomorrow at 6 a.m. for Dragon Con in Atlanta for the weekend, but we wanted to still give you some reactions from the match tonight. So we are just going to record them into my telephone and then pop them in here. So the quality is going to be bad. Don't send me messages about it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I'm going to do the best I can to edit it, but it's still going to sound like we're recording into a telephone at Q2 Stadium.
So we're just going to share a little bit from the game. Obviously, the dog interview, the most important part, and then some other fit checks and reactions. And then we've got a very special interview to wrap up today's show with. So we're going to let's get there. Let's get going.
Yeah. So the first match of this 2-week period here is the return to, return to MLS with St. Louis away. That was pretty dark. We move on to talk about Frisco, which was an away trip. And 400 Austin FC fans made the trip up on a bus. I really thought we were going to get this one.
Yeah.
It really felt like we were going to celebrate Copa Tejas in a parking lot again.
Yeah. When I saw 7 minutes of extra time, I said to myself, there's no way.
I really still felt like we could.
Yeah, but you have eternal optimism, and I don't.
Yeah. The frustrating part about this match, I think, is right at the whistle, we had to leave. And I know that we have set an expectation over the past 3 years that, you know, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be standing there at the end of the match, cheering on our boys, clapping for them, singing them songs, showing them how much we love them.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to do that. And that was really frustrating.
Yeah, and I think that the lack of communication to our players as well, because nobody's going to think to say, hey, the away fans need to leave at the final whistle, right? But all they're going to see is just us booking it.
Yeah, and it's tricky because, like, emotionally, it's a really important, to me, thing that we sing true love every match at the end. And so I was so thankful that La Murga still played it, even though we were immediately outside of the gates because mm-hmm. we were ushered out so quickly. But getting to play it and getting to sing that song and feel those words makes everything better, win, loss, or draw. And so it sucked that the players didn't get to hear it. But
yeah, we love them anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope they all know that we love them very much.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much it for the normal stuff. We've got a couple social media things to chat about. First thing I want to say is congrats to Julio for his call-up to the Costa Rican national team.
Yeah.
I am so, so happy for him.
Pura vida.
It's so, it's massive, and yeah. I'm just so proud and honored.
We love it. He deserves it. Congratulations, Julio.
Congrats, Julio. I love you. Goodbye.
The next thing I wanted to call out is, Steph, I wanted to know your opinion on the Matt Hedges shirt trade. You know, here's a guy who played for FCD for a decade, probably thought he was going to retire there. You know, and then he ended up in Toronto last season, but now he's playing for us and playing his heart out.
Yeah, he played his butt off the entire match. Those boys played hard, just in general. But I have a very different reaction than it looks like a lot of Twitter does, because I don't see a problem with it. I think that there's a knee-jerk reaction or a gut reaction to want our players to hate other teams, I think, because fans do. And I don't necessarily know if I agree. I don't agree with that. Like, I think it's a wholesome thing to see players in the spirit of competition support and respect each other on the pitch as well as off of it.
Yeah, I think growing up a Red Sox, Celtics, and Bruins fan, right? If any of our players had ever traded jerseys with a Yankees player or a Montreal Canadiens player or a LA Lakers player, right? Like, our minds would have exploded. But the difference is that those were decades of, like, serious rivalries that built out of the players hating each other, right? And, like, the choices that the players made informed the fan behavior.
Sure.
And I don't think we're there yet as a club, right?
Yeah, no.
I think the fans in the stands have the teams that they dislike, but I don't think it's become clear organizationally, like, who our main rival is. And I'm excited to find that out as a fan of rivalries. I think they're great. I love the hate game. But, like, I want to see who it is that earns our hate. Because if we hate every team that beats us, or if we hate every team that takes a player or whatever, we're going to hate every team and it's going to be meaningless.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And so I don't care either about Matt Hedges' shirt trade. I think it's gross that he wore another sweaty
jeans. That, I think, is, yeah, that's, like, that's the thing that gets me, is that, like, everyone's like, oh, and then he put it on, and I'm like, oh, and then he put it on?
Yeah, so, Matt, that was gross.
Matt,
but
that's gross.
Also, like, you do you, boo. just don't hug us with someone else's sweaty shirt.
Sweat.
Well, I don't think I would mind it if it was his own sweat.
I would.
But if it's someone else's.
Honestly, I don't want anyone. I just don't like. Ugh.
The other post-Frisco fiasco post that I wanted to talk about was Brad Stuver's. The, like, no uplifting message, just hearts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, that to me, like, it's devastating. He's always got something hopeful or uplifting to say. And I think that after a match like that, I mean, there is no, that match does not happen the way it does without Brad. Like, Brad, that whole game was working his tail off. And I just think sometimes there are no words.
Yeah.
And that's really sad.
Yeah. It was especially sad to see that his comments were off. On Instagram.
Yeah, and they have been for a bit. And I've noticed that more and more players are closing off their comments or closing messages down on Instagram. And it bums me out. It makes me sad. It makes me feel like maybe they're getting some not so supportive messages from fans.
Yeah, and we saw earlier in the season with Julio, who, like, was brave enough to share some of the hate that he was getting. And, like, y'all aren't. If you're listening to this show, it's a guarantee that y'all are not the type to be sending hateful messages to to our players. Thank you. Also, like, when we get the opportunity, we should be showering these boys with love.
Yeah. And I think it's just a good reminder to make sure that we keep doing that, even when things are going a little rough. Like, that's the time they're going to need it the most.
Yeah. If they're wearing my city's crest on their chest, they're getting my support and my love, period.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to some positive stuff in social media over the past couple of weeks. I want to talk about the most recent thing I saw, which was yesterday, Leo in full training in this pre-Seattle montage put out by the video team, which, again, complete banger, 100% win. Even even the poor video team getting hate online, like, I'm glad to see now that we're starting to get to a point where people are like, yeah, this was a killer video. I'm frustrated with the team, but the video team did well.
Yeah.
Like, it's about time. Welcome to the club. Because, yes, every single time the video team crushing it.
Yeah. Another, I guess, like, international news.
Yeah.
We've got some jerseys crossing the pond.
Yeah, I don't know if this is Roto's influence or just because No Comply is the coolest shop, but we saw Mappy León wearing the No Comply jersey as she's getting ready to go out for FC Barcelona. So sick.
Yeah.
Also, the matching sandals. Like, Hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it looked really cool, and it was really cool just to see it, like, in the wild, somewhere so far removed from Austin.
And, like, immediately after release, too. Like, right. Yeah, that's Hypebeast. Like,
that is was sick. Priority shipping.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The last thing we have to talk about is that there is a fundraiser coming up on September 22nd to benefit the Chiari Foundation, and it's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. at Hop Squad, and it's going to be cornhole, and it's going to be against Brad and his dad.
Yeah. Well, if you beat Team Swoon Tower, Steph and myself.
It's going to be against Brad and his dad.
You know, we have entered the tournament. We are throwing our hats in the ring. We are throwing our bags in the hole.
I have one question. This will determine my like performance in the cornhole tournament. This question goes out to Carrie. Are these actual cornhole bags?
Oh, like are they made
filled
of...
with corn?
Yeah.
Because this will determine my participation. Am I allowed to bring my own cornhole bags with plastic in them and not corn?
Because of allergies.
Yeah, I'm allergic to corn, and one time I played cornhole and I was getting so sick, and I was like, why am I so sick? But every time the bags dropped, they would puff up like a little bit of like corn dust or whatever.
Yeah, it was wild to learn that cornhole has real corn in it.
Yeah,
it's not just the name.
It took me so long to figure out what was going on, like an embarrassingly long time.
Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah.
But if you want to participate in that tournament, I am not sure if there are spots left, but Carrie, find her on Twitter at Carrie_pro. Find her elsewhere on the internet as Invisible Carrie. We'll put a link in the show notes. Message Carrie directly. She'll send you a link to register. You'll pay your money to register. You'll support an incredible cause and have a good time. And if not, come to Hop Squad September 22nd from 6 to 8. Cheer on people playing cornhole, buy beers, and buy, like, donation. Donate.
Buy donation.
Buy donation.
With your money.
For the Bobby Jones Chiari Foundation.
All right. What do you say we transition into our tonight match? We're going to go to the future.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
All right, we just got Fitz dropped, so Mike is going to pull him up on Instagram, and we're going to do a live react.
Yeah, okay, so first up, we've got Seba here with a Dolce & Gabbana t-shirt, a little bit baggy, baggy black jeans and Converse?
Okay, I'm not going to lie, when I first looked at this, I thought it was a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt, and I don't know why Sebastian Driussi would be wearing a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt, but that's what I thought.
He'd probably play a bard.
He is a bard. Seducing everyone, whether he wants to or not. All right. Julio looks amazing, as always. He, you know...
What?
He looks like an old Italian grandpa.
Yep. Yeah, this is the face of a dude who drove up in his IROC.
You know, it's not even his face. It's just like the scoop cut tank and the oversized... like linen button up on top of it.
Yeah, the gold chains help for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got Brad. I like the shirt though.
Yeah, I love the shirt. Great shirt, Brad.
Shirt helps make him look even taller than the angle does.
Yeah.
And clean white shoes, can't go wrong.
Legs for days.
Finally, we've got Johan Valencia here. What do you think, Steph?
I think he's wearing a black t-shirt. I think he looked at... did you see Kippy's Instagram story today?
No.
It was a three-pack of baggy t-shirts. And I think Valencia's wearing one of them.
In the K2 collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I do like the big chunky black sneakers, though, that look like they might want to be boots.
They're like... They're potato shoes. They're like skate shoes.
You know I love that.
Yeah, you do. All right, thanks, boys. We regret to inform you all that Media Darling will not be making their media appearance tonight.
You know, at first I was pretty hurt, but they're just so freaking cute. I can't help but not mind.
I think you should go adopt Media Darling so that you can see them. We also regret to inform you that Jean Kolmanich is growing out a mullet.
It's not great.
All right, I have a question for you, Mike.
Yeah, what's up?
Is there a reason that CJ has holes in the back and front of his socks?
Calves too big.
Too big, big calves too big. You heard it here first, folks. All right, the man of my jersey for tonight is going to be, well, for this, like, the past couple weeks, is going to be Maxi Arruti. Not because he did anything noteworthy, but because his whole soul is invested in every single moment of every single game, whether he's playing or not. Like, watching him warm up on the sidelines, he's so in it, and he's so, like, he feels, yeah, he feels everything so hard, and that's what I love. And so that's us. Signing off. We're gonna go sing True Love. Bye.
Jung.
Well, that was a match.
Yeah,
went away.
Oof. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what the outcome was? I'm gonna put a woof, and I'm gonna put a let's go.
Okay.
Just in case, and then I can edit whichever one I need.
Great. So we've got our interview coming up. We're gonna take a quick ad break and we'll get you right into that.
And then I want to know the man of your jersey right now.
I was gonna do it tonight.
Oh, gonna do a live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to find out.
Well, you would all have already found out.
Well,
because the segment was before this.
Oh, right.
You all already heard it.
I don't
know.
This
is us from the past.
Swoon Tower Soccer is brought to you by our friends at FVF Law, the official lawyers of Austin FC.
FVF is a different kind of personal injury law firm dedicated to community transparency and client education.
You can go to fvf.law to find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm and why understanding your legal options can dramatically change the outcome of a case. Zoom. Thank you so much for joining us, Brian. Brian C. Parker is a busy man. He's an editor at Austin Monthly. He's a photographer. He's a writer for publications like Texas Monthly, Rolling Stone, and Consequence. And he's a fan of Austin FC. Somehow, you were still able to find time to come and hang out with us?
I did. Well, you guys are definitely worth it. I really appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. And I just want, before we get started, where can folks find you all over the internet? Once he gives this, folks, pause, go find him, follow him, and then start the podcast again.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I am at Brian C. Parker, Brian with a Y, pretty much on all socials. So definitely on the app formerly known as Twitter. and on Instagram, I guess, are the main two places that I usually circulate whatever I'm working on. So that's the best way. And then just following Austin Monthly as well, because I write there constantly. And follow us on social media. I one is at Austin Monthly and one is at Austin _monthly, and I can never remember which is which I should probably do since I work there. But
we'll link them in the show notes for you, so you don't even have to be accurate. We'll just give people one click.
Perfect. Yeah, if you search Austin Monthly, you'll find socials easily. And bookmark the page. A subscription is like $12 for a year. It's pretty cheap. And, you know, local media, it needs all the help it can get. Mm-hmm. So if you can, stand to, then subscribe to the magazine. That'd be great.
Yes. Plus one, give your money to local journalists. That's the only way we get content like this. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We've got a couple of general questions for you before we get into the meat of this week's conversation.
The juice.
Yeah.
So, hot gas. So, Brian, where did your love of soccer come from? What's your fan origin story? How'd you get into the sport?
Sure. Well, I think I'm a city fan first. So anything going on in Austin, I'm going to be following and try to keep an awareness of. So as soon as there was a soccer team coming to town, I was fully on board from the beginning. And I think that watching soccer made me fall in love with the sport. So I guess I'm more of an Austin fan first, and then came to soccer later. I would follow national teams when they went on runs because I just love sports. Sports are about narratives and about stories and about people. And so for me, the entry point is always kind of the peripherals around sports. I mean, look, I'll watch sports all day and get into a game, but I love the narratives and the stories. So I would watch when there were deep runs from a national team or something. But my first love is probably baseball, sports wise. But as soon as we were getting a team, I mean, I was just fully invested from the beginning. I knew that I would, you know, buy kits and go to matches and and network with people who were also into the team. And so it's just great to have a thing to rally around in the city. So I would say that's really how I got into soccer here.
Nice. Are you fully on board with terms like pitch instead of field and things like that now?
I am.
Kits and matches, so.
Yeah, that's true. I try to plug those in, but I do kind of like the Americanization of some of these things. I mean, you know, it's still a field sometimes. People will get bristly, I think, but.
People will get bristly at a lot of things, so.
Yeah, almost anything these days. But, you know, as a journalist or as a writer, I feel like I'm always looking for a different word. So you're not saying pitch every other sentence when you're writing about soccer. So, you know, I feel like sometimes you do work in some of these other words. But yes, I try to be up on the terminology.
I appreciate that. Who are some of your favorite players, both on and off the pitch, the field, the grass, the... You know.
Yes. I mean, it's hard not to say Stuver. I know Stuver is sort of like an everyone loves Stuver situation, but just I've been able to go to press conferences and been able to do interviews outside the locker room and stuff like that as I've reported some stories on the team. And he's just such an approachable, good dude, and it's hard not to love him. And he does so much great work off the pitch and with fundraising and community building, and he's a great leader. So it's hard not to say Stuver. For sure. It's also hard not to say Driussi because he's just been such a joy to watch on the field. I've gotten to snap some great photos of him. I did a feature last year and, you know, he's just fun to watch in terms of actual play. So I guess we could start with those two, but you know, I like I said earlier, I love narratives and I feel like almost everyone's got a great story. So
yeah.
We'll get into it in a minute, I guess. But, you know, hearing Giassi's story for this particular piece I worked on that I'm here to talk to y'all about, he had a great story. And, you know, I guess the list could go on, but I'll cut myself off at three.
Yeah. The thing I love about Driussi is it seems like there's no bad picture of him ever taken. Like that man is just always ready for the camera. Like, not to say that he's like posing, but like for whatever, like he seems to exemplify, like, I don't got to get ready if I stay ready, you know?
He's a photogenic guy. And to the sort of main theme of Spoon Tower here, I think that if it's all about the boys, I mean, it's a pretty good looking team in general. Most of the guys are pretty photogenic. I mean, and that seems to kind of run through soccer. I don't know what's going on with that. But other sports where they put helmets on, you know, not so attractive. But I guess maybe there's something about being camera ready in soccer that maybe there's something there. But it's a pretty attractive team.
Hey, no one ever asked me for my soccer fan origin story, but you just said it right there. It
the
seems
boys.
To be the most attractive sport just across the board.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of like John Kruk looking soccer players, you know.
I'm going to Google him later. are there any memories that particularly stand out for you from the team, from either celebrations, wins, losses, home matches, anything that sticks out to you as like a favorite memory?
So many. I kind of go with some cliche wins here, but I think the first match at home was just so special. And, you know, I did one specific story on that and just being there and seeing the team to come together and the fans come together and the march, the first march to the match was incredible. So that was incredibly special. Both playoff matches at home, but, you know, that were really special. I mean, just the enthusiasm in the stadium from before the first whistle, it was just palpable and amazing. And despite losing in a pretty ugly match on the road in LA, I was writing a feature at the time about the team and how successful the second season had been. So I traveled to LA. And so that was great just to see familiar faces, like, you know, people that I've kept up with from the very beginning of this team. And so that was fantastic just to see other people. It was a small section, of course, in Verde, but, it was cool to see other travelers. And so that was really special.
Yeah, that was not my favorite memory of being a Austin FC fan. That like away experience, pre-match, super exciting and super fun.
There were some highlights for sure.
Yeah, and that's when I kind of walked around the stadium pre-match, and that's what stands out to me is seeing other people and, you know, like Roma and Rigo, and just like giving them a hug, and like people that were you know, have been following the team for the whole time. So yes, definitely pre-match for me as well, Mike. was the good stuff, but even though the rest of the day was less pleasant.
Yeah. Speaking of pleasant, I want to hear the story that you contacted us to talk about.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people know this or not. I didn't really know. And even after, as I got into it, learned more about it. But there's a dedicated barbershop space inside the practice facility. So if you're wondering how the team always has this pitch perfect hair, you know, this is how is match day minus one or minus two if they're traveling, because, you know, like today they're on the bus to Dallas. But if they and yeah, I realize this will be coming out later, but anyway, so they
that's all right. It timestamps when this interview was a little bit, so
cool.
Yeah, we're getting ready to head up to hopefully win Copa Tejas this weekend. So
that's right. Yeah. And I talked to a media person from the team earlier today, and they were just getting on the bus. So, but anyway, match day minus one or minus two, they hit up some barbers and they invite them into this space. And it actually says barbershop on the little tag outside the room. Oh. So this is a facility that is set up for this purpose. And the guys kind of sign up on this glass front wall with like an expo marker, and there's a queue for who's going to go. And it's a little bit of a free for all. Like it's not super structured. They just kind of, the barbers show up, and then somebody takes point of kind of like making this list, and they take turns getting their hair cut. And this is like a weekly occurrence. This happens every week that there's a match. So it's a really cool thing. And I think the thing that jumped out the most to me is from the beginning, it was a cool hook for a story to kind of talk about, you know, what this ritual, I guess, that the team does. But being there in person and seeing how much it fosters this chemistry between the guys, that was what I didn't, I guess I should have thought about it and thought, of course, this is going to be a team bonding, building thing. But it really jumped out after the experience, just how much they're interacting and having fun and sort of building team chemistry.
I have so many questions. I guess because we've talked about this on Sue and Tower before. We've talked about the haircuts and had some chats about who might need to visit a team barber more than others. And then, you know, you'll see all of a sudden, like there was a point last season that all of a sudden it was clear Owen Wolf was invited into the barber's chair. And whether it's an open thing for all of the players always, and he just decided to go that week, it seems like a rite of passage for them to kind of get that match day minus one haircut. And did that feel like the vibe?
It can be a little competitive, I feel like, because there's a certain amount of time in a day, you know, they really have this one day, and it's kind of whoever can get in there. And I was on site for quite a while because we had it scheduled, and then they ended up kind of having an impromptu players meeting that somebody called. And so they ended up, you know, jumping into this meeting and then coming back to the space, but, they're busy guys. And so I think it can be a little competitive. I wonder, just from hearing what you're saying, if maybe it was Owen decided to finally jump in there and put his name on the board, where before he maybe didn't feel like he could or something.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I mentioned in this story kind of allude to, which was the funniest thing on this day, is Driussi was not the first person on the list. But as soon as the barbers got ready to roll, Driussi jumped in the chair and sort of pulled rank as captain and was like, he was like, I'm going first. But he didn't even say that. He just went first. So that was pretty funny.
Lead by example, right? Like
definitely. Yeah. So I think to your point, Stephanie, there was like definitely a little bit of, you know, I guess not necessarily seniority, but I can see that. So I wonder if there was a point where Owen felt like I can't quite do this yet, and then decided to take the plunge.
Yeah, I really love looking at it as like a confidence to put your name on the barber sign.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it this week.
It was middle of the season. He had been playing really, really well. He was starting. He was kind of growing into this great addition to the field, and
he had a haircut that like looked like
cut.
Yeah, he had a haircut before that looked like something I would be wearing when I was 16, 17, just like, I don't know, super cuts or whatever. And then, boom, one day walked out fresh.
I love that. I hadn't noticed that, but it's a really cool element of this is the way that it kind of also mirrors your integration to the team and being a part of it, or how you're feeling. I mean, you know, we all know that there have been a couple of different players who've chopped all their hair off as the season has gone on. So, you know, I wonder if it's time for a change, you know, in their personality or whatever. And the barbershop can kind of be part of that. It's a weird kind of cool metaphor for, you know, the way that players are interacting on the pitch even.
Yeah, because Rodney, too, this year. Rodney had a midseason glow up in a haircut, too. These are the things that this is the stuff that I
deep
notice.
Analysis that we give you. Yeah.
Jokes aside, that's very real. Like paying it to, you know, being like, oh, you know, maybe he's going through something. There's something that he's taking this step or making this decision. It's cool.
Were you there when Kippy got his locks shorn, or was this after that?
Tell me when that happened.
Oh gosh. During League's Cup break. All of a sudden.
No, yeah, I was there before that. We work like 8 weeks out almost in advance on print stuff. So this was a while back. I don't think Kip got a, I'm trying to remember if Kip got a cut that day. There were a bunch of guys in and out. So I don't remember Kip getting a cut that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause Kippy with the business haircut recently tells us that he's making ready. That jump for himself. Yeah.
He means business. Yeah.
Time to put away childish things, you know?
Yeah.
Now, do they just do cuts, or some of the color that the guys have had, is that separate on their own, or is that part of this
That's a great question. Because, you know, Giassi, obviously the color is a big part of it. Yeah. He doesn't get the color done every week. I didn't see anyone get color when I was there. It's possible they could do that, but I will say it's pretty quick cuts, you know, I mean, the barbers are pretty, it's a pretty traditional barbershop vibe in that sense, where it's like, hop in the chair, we know exactly what we're doing. There's some precision work happening, and it's like a 25 minute process tops, you know, nice. So maybe even less for some guys. So it moves quick. I should have found out if some of the color happens on site, because Giassi and I talked a lot about his color, but I didn't ask if he gets it done there.
Yeah, I guess this is a really good transition. You had mentioned Giassi before, and I know a little bit about the origin of the bleaching, but I am so excited to hear from you, from him, kind of that story.
Yeah, and I hope fans know this, and I don't know if they do. It's just such a cool story. When he first started playing, and this is, you know, his first matches ever in MLS, I'm trying to remember now if they were MLS matches, but anyway, some of his earliest matches as a professional ever, he was going to be on television, and his grandparents, you know, are pretty old. And so they were concerned about not being able to spot him. And so he thought this would be like a week long thing or a 2 week long thing. He was like, I'm going to dye my hair bleach blonde so that they can spot me on the television. It's so sweet. And so he did that. And then he's still doing it a decade later, you know, to be recognizable. And it's just a cool, again, when I started this, it seems kind of superficial, but there's a lot here, you know, in terms of identity and how you feel on the pitch and the way people connect to each other. And so I love that story about Giassi.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I tell people when they're like, oh, who's that? I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you asked. The most wholesome player ever.
Sweet guy. Very sweet guy.
I do wish that he kept the mohawk, though. You know, as his career has gone on, the sides have gotten more involved in his overall haircut. I loved the young, just the mohawk, bright yellow. But, you know,
I do think I referred to it as a mohawk in the story, but you're right, because when I was like, is this still a mohawk? It's close, but you're right that the sides have gotten a little more involved. They're a little longer. It's not as quite as brash, but it's like a statesmanly mohawk or something.
He's a veteran now. It's time to put away like childish grown up things.
Mohawk. Yeah. How many times are you going to say that?
As many times as it applies. It's my new saying about hair.
Love it. Well, I've definitely steamrolled the first part of this conversation. So, Mike, I don't know if you have any questions, but I'm sorry for just barreling through.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a few times that you've been writing this piece. First of all, where will it be available?
It is on austinmonthly.com as of yesterday, but it's there. You can find it. It's part of this huge package that is our Best of ATX package. So there are like over 130 people, businesses, events, things in the city that we highlight in this package. So it's a lot to sort through. This does get its own full page, which is incredible. Some of these blurbs are, you know, we're covering a lot of ground. So there are maybe 70 words or something like that. So we did a full page for Austin FC's barbershop, which is cool. So it's at HEB. If you see it on newsstands, you can pick up an issue there and thumb through and find it. If you searched Austin FC barbershop, it'd probably pop up on Google. We kind of promote things from the issue throughout the month. So the issue comes out, it may not be out today, but by next week, it'll be on newsstands. So probably by the time people hear this show, you can find the magazine on newsstands and the article will be online. We kind of push out content via social channels throughout the month since we have a whole issue's worth of content rather than, you know, we're not going to tweet 30 stories on the first of the month because people would be annoyed. you can look for it on socials. But yeah, if you want to seek it out and find it, it's on austinmonthly.com by the time you're hearing this because it's up now. So I think that's a very long answer to where is this story. But
no,
yes.
It's a great one because it gave me time to pull up the story and look at the haircuts. And so what was the number one little nugget of joy that you got out of this that you weren't able to squeeze into the article?
That I wasn't able to squeeze into the article. Let's see. I'm trying to remember what all did make it into there. I think that it made it in there, and we'll have to shed a tear here because Diego, this was before his departure. So he loved razzing people. And so there's probably even more razzing that happened that wasn't in the story. I think I mentioned that he bet Cascante $500 that he wouldn't shave all his head, like, you know, completely take his hair all the way off. So that I think made the story, but he was also razzing, I think, Cascante also about why he had a new haircut every week, but still had an iPhone 7. That was really funny.
Relatable.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Again, just more of that kind of bonding and team chemistry. That was cool. Diego was definitely one of the biggest instigators of razzing whoever was in the chair, which was fun. I don't think he got his haircut that day.
There to heckle. That's the most Boston thing.
Yeah, honestly,
I've ever heard.
That is dyed in the wool New England.
Yeah, the facility is right outside the locker room at the practice facility. So when you come out of the locker room, the barber shop is right there. And it's, like I said, it's this all glass front. And so it's kind of like a little fishbowl and everyone can see who's getting their haircut at that time. So it's easy to like walk by and make a comment or stick your head in. So the Diego thing was really funny. An awkward moment that definitely did not make it into the story was I got there and, you know, I'm waiting and the barbers are setting up and the guys are kind of like walking by and there's just nothing really happening. And so Driussi, like I said, he pulled rank. And so he comes in and sits down first. And so I'm just sitting here like with Driussi and, you know, there's nothing really to say yet because they're still setting up. And, actually, the wallpaper on my phone right now is a photo I took of him in the playoffs last year. And so I just was like, am I really going to do this? And I just like showed him that he was my wallpaper, which.
How did he handle that?
He smiled. He thought it was really like cute, I guess. So it was really funny. And then he actually asked, I was wearing a Moon Tower shirt And he asked what Moon Tower was, which I also found really funny because I think some of the guys had been on the podcast, so they know. But I was surprised, and he was like, "What's this?" And I was like, "It's a soft podcast about the team." So that awkwardness didn't make the story, but was pretty memorable for me. So,
oh, that's really good.
That's amazing.
It reminds me a lot of a story that Jeremiah will tell sometimes. One of our Moon Tower dads, who he was at the event where the Queen of the Netherlands was at Q2, and it was him and Danny Hoosen and Seba in, like, they were wearing fantastic suits, and right. Jeremiah showed up in journalist clothes, and he was just like, I'm sitting here not saying anything to two of these players that I cover every week. What should I do?
Yeah, it can be awkward in those moments because there's such a media protocol where you know what to do if it's a press conference or if you're asking about the match or whatever. But, you know, especially a story like this, this is one of the first stories I've written. It's a little adjacent, really, to team play. And so definitely it can be a little awkward, but we managed, we made it through. And then I think this made it in the story, but the guys were like scrolling soccer videos nonstop on their phone, which was pretty funny. Or maybe that didn't make it in there. They were, you know, people put music on, like they'd throw on some like Spanish hip hop or whatever. And then there were pretty much constantly scrolling like reels on Instagram of soccer videos. I guess it's to be expected, but just living and breathing, you know, soccer was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
Did you get any insight into Brad Stuver's hair routine?
Great question.
Thank you.
Well, I think I only know what people already know. I mean, do we know? do fans know that the team affectionately refers to his material he uses? They call it stew glue.
I did not know.
They
that.
Do now.
Yeah, they do now. Listeners to Swoon Tower will know this. Stew yeah. glue.
They call it stew glue. He's very secretive about exactly what it is. he will not tell anyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll also kind of defer to saying he just uses like some basic pomade sometimes when it doesn't need to stay completely in place.
He said he has two formulas, game day and out in the streets. And yes. They are very different, but that they are both secret.
Yes. Yeah. The stew glue recipe is definitely a well-guarded secret, as well as the Austin FC goal, you know? I didn't get a ton there. But I will say one thing that everybody was really consistent about is how important the fade is. Like, regardless of the haircut, whether it was Giassi's or whether it was Driussi's, you know, everybody was very particular about the way that the side needed to be cut, for the fade. So that was the critical element of, making sure it was done well and correct, is making sure the fade was perfect.
Did they each kind of have their own style of what correct is for them?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, everyone had these very specific little details. And Giassi, for example, didn't have a lot done that day, but he also had his like mustache trimmed and his like little goatee trimmed up. So everyone had a little something different.
Oh. Yeah. Everyone's got like, hey, will you touch up this? Like,
no, for real. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing. Who was the most surprising barbershop chair member that day?
I wish I had something really funny. I think I've had so many little funny things that they did. I think the most surprising thing to me was how shy Cascante was. He was very shy. Really? I did the photos for this as well. And so I took pictures of there are three players photographed for this story. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I got the gist of it, I don't need to go find the story, definitely go find it in print, because there are three headshots of these Austin FC players looking gorgeous. So Driussi and Stuver and Giassi are photographed for the story. And then I think that a couple more kind of squeezed into the background in, you're looking at it, I think, Mike. Can you remind me?
Yeah. So the cover image on the print or on the online version has Will Bruin next to Brad at the same time. And to me, that's super surprising, because Will Bruin doesn't seem like a go to the barbershop guy. He seems like a maybe a Flobee in the bathroom kind of guy. Yeah. And that is not a knock on a Flobee in the bathroom, because that's how I cut my hair.
I will say, actually, since your question was about surprise, I was a little surprised when Bruin stepped in to get this cut, because as you can maybe see in the photograph there, he was having a lot taken off that day. It seemed like it had been a minute since he'd gotten it cut. So maybe this was a special Will Bruin appearance that didn't happen all the time. I think the one in print, there was a different shot. There were a few like wide shots like that I took, and I think it might have been Valencia in the background and Driussi in the foreground. Valencia was pretty reserved too, pretty quiet, pretty chill. But Cascante was really shy, because I took these headshots and we weren't sure exactly who we were going to use yet for this page. I was just kind of, you know, collecting images and we decide later. And so I had originally planned to shoot a photograph, like kind of the same thing that I did with the others, a headshot of Cascante. And he asked me not to. He was like, well, I don't want to do a photo. So Cascante was a little shy about that. So that was surprising to me.
That's surprising to me too. Knowing his social media presence and like the way him and his wife are on socials, like I would assume that he'd be like, heck yeah, take pictures of me. I know I'm the best dressed. I know I've got the best haircut. I know I have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I've seen him be the guy they turn to sometimes for media availability. Like he can kind of be a spokesperson for the team often. And he's a veteran. And so, I mean, it could have been he was having an off day, or maybe he didn't want the like haircut in process or something. I don't know. I mean, you know, because that's something I wondered about. Driussi, we actually ended up with a shot where he's actively getting the cut still. The other two, I think I took just after they finished. But I mean, I wondered if people would feel weird about me taking, cause Will Bruin actually is very in process in that photograph, which I wasn't sure how they'd feel. So I don't know exactly why it is. I didn't ask him to clarify or push the issue, obviously, but he said, let's not do a photo. And I said, okay, so.
let's do not that.
I have a question about the barbers themselves. I know it's quantity over quality cuts, but are they the always barbers, or is it like a rotating crew of different companies who come in?
I think it's mostly the same guy, and this is just this is team led. This is another thing I meant to say that I think is a cool part of it. The players just head this up. So I think Stuver was really the one who started this, and he was going to this barber he liked. His name's Manny, and I feel so bad that I'm going to forget the name of his shop. But he does have a shop, and he would just text him and invite him in. This time there was also a guy named Luis there who I think is newer, and I think he comes with Manny. So I think they work together. But Stuver just headed it up and would text the guys and ask them to come in, and they bring up a mobile setup to do their setup. This year I couldn't tell if this was a joke. This is another thing where I was like, is this 100% a joke or 50% a joke or how much of this is a joke? But they said this year, that they passed it off to Danny. Because they were like, it was like a kind of your point of rite of passage, Steph, you know, it was like they said that Danny was in charge of heading it up this year, so that he could like have this responsibility of scheduling the haircuts.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so
like you couldn't handle the dog. So let's see if you can handle the haircuts so that maybe next time you can get a dog.
Yeah, I think it's really funny you brought up the haircut. I was talking to somebody else about that the other day, or the dog the other day. But anyway, so supposedly Danny's doing it this year. I don't know if that's 100% true, but basically the players just reach out. I think it usually is these same two guys, Manny and Luis, who do the cuts, though.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and that shop is called Quantity Over Quality, or Quality Over Quantity. And I've seen their Insta videos.
That is the name of the shop.
Yeah, and they give good haircuts. So, like, free advertisement again for Manny and Luis over there. Like, their stuff is really good. Also,
super nice guys.
Listening.
I feel bad that I didn't pick up the ball there. So thanks for picking up my slack, Mike. We were just kind of really zeroed in on the narrative behind these guys' cuts. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that you did that. So thank you.
And like, if we, Manny, Luis, if y'all are listening, feel free to also hit us up to come on the show and talk about what it's like to be the Austin FC here, you know, barbers, because I think that's a really fun perspective as well, right?
Definitely.
Were you able to connect with them at all around that? Like,
oh, I talked to them a little bit. The weird thing to mention here, but people who know me well, I collect these fitted hats, Astros hats. And so they were actually looking for hats to buy in bulk to stitch their own logos on for their barbershop, I think. So we actually got into this long conversation about hat models, because I'm very familiar with exactly what, you know, style number these hats are that are made by New Era. Anyway, very dorky hat collection conversation with the barbers.
Listen, if you're not talking about the 5950, I don't want to hear about it.
There you go, you know. But they were wanting 920. This is what I was telling them. They were wanting, like, really, they were wanting 920 golfers is I think what they're wanting, because the golfer has this like high point in the middle. And so it kind of creates this flatter surface on the front to be able to put a logo. It's just a different kind of style. The 5950 is the Major League Baseball on-field model. And then the 920, they have a couple of different 920 models, but there's a golfer model. And they were describing it to me, and I was like, what you want is the 920 golfer.
Yeah, it's like a flat panel, like five brim without, or five panel. Flat brim without the five panels, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That front surface is really flat.
Sorry, Steph.
It's fine. Hats don't fit my head, so I'm just disassociating from this part of the car. I'm learning a lot.
You can find a hat that fits your head for sure. I would love to help you find a hat.
If you're looking in the children's section, you're on the right track.
That's cool. I bought my 5-year-old his first fitted hat not too long ago, so that we could find it.
All right. I'll hit you up. I have like the world's smallest head. I don't know what it is, but like, I just have the tiniest stupid head.
Let's make some Patreon content.
Perfect. Got it.
All right. Is there anything else that, kind of wrapping up this segment, that you kind of wanted to put in the article or didn't have space for, or just kind of in the moment thinking of that you wanted to share? This has been so great.
No, I think you guys really dug deep on this. It's so fun to talk about some of that behind the scenes stuff that you don't get to put in there. And even me getting to share my awkwardness, confess to someone how weird I am for showing someone their own picture on my phone. But no, I think this was good. I mean, I just double down on it's such a cool way to foster community. Mm-hmm. And from the players themselves scheduling it to interacting the day of. It's great. You know, I know this has been like a transitional year for the team and kind of tough. And I won't sidetrack us with my opinions about all that. But it's great to see them like in just a very human element. You know, I guess one parting thing I would say is it's so easy to forget there are people inside the kits, you know, and you can have an opinion about it and it's totally fine. And I know that there's an element of it's fair game because they're public personalities. I totally get it. But, you know, they're people too. And so it was really wonderful to see them interacting in that regard and just doing this very normal human thing of getting a haircut. I loved that opportunity and I loved getting to work on this. And I'll loop back again and say, pick up an issue of Austin Monthly, pay attention to the whole package, you know, local media really does need support, and it makes a huge difference to like click like or share the story or whatever. It helps us do more Austin FC coverage. You know, Austin Monthly covers everything in the city of Austin, and we are really a team of like 3 or 4 people. So, you know, it's a small team, and so it allows me to be able to do more stuff to cover the team and bring you content like this if that content gets supported. So. Thanks for your support, and thanks to y'all for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for coming to us with this. We've got one more quick segment.
But yeah, like you're on not off the hook yet.
Oh, I'm not. I thought I was leaving. So
just wrapping up the barber section. But I mean, it's so important, especially this kind of content, to see the players, the people behind the players. And so please share that article around. We'll share it out on the Moon Tower socials and on our own as well, but support the heck out of it so that we get more behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, the fact that there's different photos in print and online, yo, you gotta buy that print copy too. Let's go.
Get the print. Yeah, if you didn't get the feature last year too, it was, you can probably still find the feature online, but for those of you who got it, it's got like a full page Stuver photo and a full page Drewski photo, both from the playoffs. It was really nice. So definitely stay tuned to Austin Monthly. But okay, yeah. I'm not leaving yet. So what do we have in store?
We've got rapid fire questions for you now. We're gonna go back and forth. As soon as you've got an answer, just ping us the answer. Like best smile.
Giassi.
Nice.
Best fashion sense.
Cascante.
Obviously. Nice.
Who'd you run through a wall for?
Man, so sad. Would have, you know, had to have been Diego before now. But I think I'm going to go with Danny.
Nice.
And if I can explain that, I just think, you know, there's still some edges to be sanded off, I think, in various parts there. And he's young and he's learning, but man, I think his heart's just fully in and he's such a grinder. And, you know, if I can tuck this in, I'm sorry, I know it's rapid fire, but
no.
in that feature, I talked about one of the scenes that really stuck with me from LA was after that match, he sat there on the pitch and watched the celebration of the other team. And that was such an intense, real moment for me that he wanted to immerse himself in that and be like, no, I want to know what this feels like, you know? And I thought that was really powerful and good. So I love Danny's spirit.
Yes.
Oh, I love that answer. We're
mega Danny stands here. So awesome. So you may know this. Every away match win, Austin FC does the picture. This is a picture in the locker room. You're nodding along. Whose pose is your favorite in the picture?
I feel like Gallagher is always doing this like mad flex that it's hard not to see that as just like, you know, because there's a comedy to it. I mean, it looks intense, but there's a comedy to his shirtless flex as well. So
yeah,
I think I'd have to look at one of those to really think about it. But that's what stands out in my mind would be
every
asked,
time.
Is Gallagher.
Yeah, every Perfect. Time. That's my thought too. I'm with you.
All right, Panera mac and cheese bread bowls. Yes or no?
Definitely yes, because I'm pescatarian. So going with the mac and cheese bread, always good.
Oh, I love it.
Nice. And what would you carry in your toiletry bag? You know, those little bags that they carry in before the matches?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. What would be in yours?
I don't know what they have in them, even.
Either. That's the mystery.
Yeah, Steph thinks it's mac and cheese bread bowls. If she's a crazy person, it can't be.
Yeah, that seems large. but I mean, I feel the safe answer is toothbrush, but I don't know. Let it percolate. Do we have more?
We got one more. The most important one. Who on this day is the man of your jersey? Who's your favorite player overall? The most
What? This moment.
Yeah, in this moment, who is your favorite?
I'm going to go with Finley because of his answer about not caring about his own goal and the determination for it to be a team effort. He's been a grinder this year. Kind of, you know, yeah. I just love it. So I'm going, I don't know if that's an always answer, but I'm going with Finley right now.
That's the best part of this question is that it doesn't have to be an always answer because I can't commit to a favorite. So every other week I get to pick a new one.
Love it.
Although it has been Finley the past like three times in a row. So
yeah, great. Pretty much exclusively Julio or Finley, but you know, who's counting?
Because Ruben's not here anymore.
Yep. He's a good one. I love
it. Yeah, he is. All right, Brian, this was really great. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. I feel very lucky to have gotten some of that non-locker room, but locker room style insight.
Yeah. Make sure to follow Brian at Brian C. Parker everywhere, where he will absolutely tell us on his socials what goes in his toiletry bag.
I'll have to think about it. Thank you guys so much. I feel lucky for getting to come on here and talk to y'all. So thank you. And thanks for doing an awesome podcast about the boys. We love it. And yeah, we'll see you around.